Okay, a moment of complete candor. Anyone in your life who just drives you crazy? I mean, really bugs you? Seems like every time you're together, something is said that just, well, it irks you. Well, on today's edition of Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents a compelling case for confrontation. He's pointing to several passages in the New Testament where we find personalities clashing, sometimes over completely petty issues, but other times, the offense cannot be ignored. As we look at these collisions, we begin to learn how to confront and lead the offender toward restitution.
We're engaged in a very interesting series of messages. I've called it just two words for a title, What If? And we've covered a number of practical subjects. What if God wants to do something great through you was one of them. What if we suddenly lose everything? What if you are being stalked? What if you're struggling with a permanent disability? What if a longtime friend deceives you? What if someone kicks you when you're down? And today, what if a person is an unrepentant troublemaker? These are subjects that occur but rarely are addressed. And this subject, thankfully, is addressed in the scriptures, and we will hear what they have to say in the message of the morning. What I have to say is based on two sections. I'd like you to put the outline of the message at Romans 16, if you will locate that first. Romans 16. Just slide it in there, and then put your finger at Titus chapter 3, toward the end of that letter. Titus chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone. Do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights about obedience to Jewish laws. These things are useless and a waste of time. If people are causing divisions among you, give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. For people like that have turned away from the truth, and their own sins condemn them. Serious words as we think today in this series on what if. What if a person is an unrepentant troublemaker? This chapter, this verse, and these verses along with Romans will guide us to an understanding of the answer.
Listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called, What If a Person is an Unrepentant Troublemaker?
Every minister of the gospel must be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. We who are engaged in ministry must be both tough and tender. Not either or, but both and. Both devoted and disciplined. Both compassionate and strong. Both understanding and discerning. Both gracious with people and impervious to destructive criticism. Full of genuine love and tender mercies, yet unwilling to be controlled or dominated or manipulated by anyone. It is not the role of a pastor to run for office. It is not the responsibility of the person to please people, but to help them, not to tell them what they want to hear, but to declare what they need to hear. Sensitive and encouraging with the healthy sheep. Straightforward and unbending with the carnal sheep. Honest and courageous with the wayward sheep. Strong and stern with treacherous wolves. With tongue in cheek, former pastor Stuart Briscoe offers these three qualifications for any minister: the mind of a scholar, the heart of a child, and the hide of a rhinoceros. Sometime you must be discerning enough to realize deceiving is going on, and you must deal with it. Reminds me of a story of a small church that was growing. It had a strong-hearted pastor who preached the truth and wasn't afraid to call a spade a spade. The church not only doubled, but ultimately tripled in size, though the building was still small, and they realized before long they simply must have a new place of worship. After doing all the planning, they realized that it would cost about $2 million, which was an exorbitant amount of money for this dear little flock to try to raise. In that same church were two ornery and very wealthy brothers. One of them died. The other reprobate brother came to the pastor in confidence and said to him, "I know you have my brother's funeral in 3 days. I want you to tell everyone that he was a saint. I want you to use those words. He was a saint. Here's a $2 million check to pay for the church that you want to build." Pastor thanked him, said he would do it, took the money, and deposited it. Remember, I told you that. The third day arrived and the funeral, and the pastor stood for his part in the service. And he said, "I want all of you to know today that the man in this casket was an unfaithful, unethical businessman. He was a sorry husband. He was a heartbreak to this church. But compared to his brother, he was a saint." Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Being a faithful shepherd means that you must sometimes stand alone like a steer in a blizzard. You must endure being misunderstood without defending yourself. You must press on, though others may walk out. You must do what is right, even though there will always be a few who are determined to do what is wrong. To borrow from an old but very wise saying, there have always been wolves in sheep's clothing. Martin Luther had another analogy in his day. There are boars in God's vineyard. Boars ravaging God's vineyard. Tragically, what was true in Luther's day has always been true, including our own day. Which brings up two very realistic facts, which is the place we'll begin on the outline if you like to take notes. Two realistic facts that we must not forget. Number one, those who lead are very big targets. Never doubt it. You know of a strong leader who is doing a great job of leading, you can count on it. His chest has a huge bullseye on it. He is a big target. I like the way Oswald Sanders wrote of it in his book, Spiritual Leadership. "No one need aspire to leadership in the work of God who is not prepared to pay a price greater than his contemporaries and colleagues are willing to pay. True leadership always exacts a heavy toll, and the more effective the leadership, the higher the price to be paid. Those who lead make very big targets. Number two, those who follow are sometimes very stubborn. In fact, there are occasionally those who are absolutely unwilling to follow. Some seem to find delight in making the pastor miserable, and they get very creative in doing so. I love the old story, whether it is apocryphal or not, I cannot say, but I heard it from Roy Zook years ago. He told of Governor Huey, who was running for governor in North Carolina back in the 1930s, and he decided that he would go to one of the mountain towns and visit with some of the people out there who would ultimately be casting their vote. He came across a pastor of a church. Pastor was experienced and seasoned, and he struck up a conversation and said, "How large is your church?" The pastor said, "Well, we run about 100. He said, "Really? That's a nice size. How many of them are active?" He said, "Oh, 100. "Really? You must be some kind of preacher." He said, "No, not necessarily. 50 of them are active for me, and 50 of them are active against me. But they're all active." Don't think that this sort of malady of chronic troublemakers is unique to our times. As long as there has been sin, there has been rebellion. And as long as there has been rebellion, there have been those who seem to take delight in working against the flock of God. The problem comes when sheep take on sheep. And you realize later they weren't sheep at all, they were wolves. The Puritan Thomas Brooks wrote, "For wolves to worry lambs is no wonder, but for one lamb to worry another is unnatural and monstrous." Sometimes those who follow do the unnatural and monstrous thing. Perhaps you have come from a troubled church. I sometimes refer to it as a toxic church that breeds an unhealthy product. For whatever reason, you have been under the thumb of other sheep and maybe a few wolves, and you need time to heal. Let me encourage you with the fact that as long as there has been sin, there have been rebels. As long as there has been leadership, there have been those who have fought against leadership. It doesn't mean that every critic is wrong or obstinate or stubborn, but you know what I mean. Some critics are determined to have their way or it's the highway. And when those people are turned loose in a congregation, that obstinance creates a horrible situation. I have to pause here and say that one of the joys of preaching on this subject at this church is that this is a healthy place to serve. Not blowing smoke, since I don't believe in doing that, this is an enviable place to pastor. You people know how to love a man and a wife. You know how to accept people as they are. You are learning more and more about grace, and it's beautiful to behold. You are not legalistic. If you were, you wouldn't survive here. This is not a place for legalists. They divide. They manipulate. They don't want God's will, they want their will as you keep their rules. Thankfully, there is none of that here. If there is, it's so quiet I hear virtually nothing of it, and I'm so grateful. Thank you for maintaining the health and the unity of this congregation. Thank you for responding in such grace, not just to me, but to one another, not just to me, but to our staff. And what a great body of men and women they are. Now let's do a quick review of chronic troublemakers. Shall we do that without turning? I come across it when I come to Numbers chapter 12. In the very first verse, I read that Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses. What makes me chuckle is that they are brothers and sister. Aaron and Miriam are Moses' brother and sister. But they made life hard for Moses. Do you know why? Check the verse. They didn't like his choice of a wife. They were petty even then, as they are now. When you get to the book of Joshua, you only get to chapter 7 before you run into a man named Achan. Achan made life miserable not only for his family, but for his tribe, and ultimately he brought defeat to the nation because he disobeyed God and didn't follow the leader, Joshua. You come to Judges, and it's a book that is sort of shot through with rebels. You get to the very last verse of Judges and you read, in those days all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes, Judges 21, 25. That's the description of a rebel. I'm going to do what is right in my eyes rather than what is right according to what God says. You get into the Kings and you learn that David's son Absalom led a rebellion against his father. David's son Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar, to talk about making life miserable. And as David is running for his life, having abdicated the throne to Absalom, there is a man in the hills named Shimei who throws rocks at David and curses him. We've looked at him earlier in this series. When you get to Job, you find a man covered in sores from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And you meet up with four men who only made life more miserable for him as they criticized Job, trying to convince him that he had done wrong, and that's the reason he was suffering so terribly from all these boils and all the fever. You come to Nehemiah, whose job is to build a wall, and all through the building process, he has to deal with Tobiah and Sanballat and Geshem, who make life miserable for him and for his fellow workmen. When you get to Daniel, his fellow workers hope to accuse him of a false charge, and then they desire ultimately to bring him to his death by having him thrown into a den of lions. Throughout the Old Testament, leaders have around them people who are stubborn and obstinate and uncooperative. You get to the New Testament, and of course, the main person there is Jesus, but of course, he had no enemies. Oh, you're smiling. The implacable Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes had him on their target at all times. They were the reason he ultimately was driven to the cross, humanly speaking. It wasn't the Romans. It was the Jewish leaders who wouldn't follow his direction as the Messiah. In the early church, there were heretics who delivered their false teachings. There were legalists who manipulated the flock of God. There were deceivers and defectors who emerged. There were fighters who refused to keep the unity of the Spirit. You get to John, who is a lover, and he writes of love in all parts of his gospel and letters. And you get to 3 John, and you meet up with a man named Diotrephes. Someday you need to read the biography. It's only 2 verses. 3 John verses 9 and 10. If it has more chapters, you're in the wrong book. Just one book, just one chapter, verses 9 and 10, Diotrephes, who is a church boss. He loves to have the preeminence. He didn't want John to come. He didn't want prophets to show up. He would determine who would come in the church and who would be allowed to take an office or play a role of leadership. Interesting, A.T. Robertson writes in his Word Pictures in the New Testament, some 40 years ago, I wrote an article on Diotrephes for a denominational paper. The editor told me later that 25 deacons stopped taking the paper to show their resentment against being personally attacked in that paper. guilty conscience, huh? Diotrephes is still alive and well. I could name on both hands and would need more fingers to tell you of pastors right now dealing with a church boss. People who are self-appointed worry warts, making life miserable for the shepherd of the flock. Heartbreaking, isn't it? I know of one pastor who dealt with a flock, and he made a decision, and he brought it to their attention, and he wanted all of them to understand why he felt this was best. A handful of people disagreed. That night, they stole the swing set from the backyard of the manse and also sliced all four of his tires. Fun group, huh? You wouldn't believe such a thing would happen because you're not like that. But it does. It does. Paul had Alexander the coppersmith. In his own words, he did me much harm. You wonder what that would include. So much so that he warns Timothy in his letter more than once, watch out for Alexander. Watch out for Alexander. He did me much harm, and the implication is he'll make life miserable for you, Timothy. Be on guard. Which brings us to the firm warning of Romans chapter 16. I'm so grateful that when the apostle wrote the letter to the Romans, he didn't simply write about the great doctrines. He certainly does that all the way through the book, through the letter. But when he gets to the end, it's very personal. He names names here, and he sends his greetings to people whose names appear, and we don't read their names anywhere else in all the New Testament literature. When you get to verse 17, the Apostle Paul pauses and offers a firm warning to the readers. He begins, and now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers. Now watch closely to what you are reading. Dear brothers and sisters, watch out for people who cause divisions. The word means dissensions. It suggests divisiveness and polarization. The original Greek term is found only here in Galatians 5:20, where Paul is describing people who are under the control of the flesh, known for breaking the unity of the Spirit. They don't want there to be unity. They want unrest. They want dissension. And they find delight in stirring that in others who stand by and don't know the difference. Watch out for those people who cause divisions.
On today's program, Chuck Swindoll poses the relevant question, what if a person is an unrepentant troublemaker? And it's been singled out by our radio family as one of the most highly requested sermons of 2017. If you missed any portion or you want to listen again, you can download the audio file at insightworld.org. You'll be pleased to learn that Chuck's entire presentation, nearly an hour in length, is included in a collection of six favorites. We are calling this CD series Our Best for His Highest. For a limited time, you're invited to request a copy when you include a donation of any amount to support the ministry of Insight for Living. The CD series includes two messages that focus on making the most of our time, two messages that focus on going to God when life is hard, and two more messages that focus on yielding our lives to God and His authority. If you're listening in the United States, you can request your copy when you give by calling 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. And then this is my first occasion to tell you about a brand new resource. This is for anyone who's a student of the Bible and wants to benefit from the decades Chuck has invested in poring over God's Word. The Swindoll Study Bible has just been released, and you can go online to see the variety of styles available to you. The Swindoll Study Bible is available for purchase. In fact, you may decide to get several copies to share with family members. And when you add a donation to your purchase, we'll be pleased to add the CD series I mentioned a moment ago, containing six listener favorites from 2017. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or it might be easier to make your selection of the Swindoll Study Bible by going to insight.org/study Bible. Every page of the brand new Swindoll Study Bible is filled with content that's designed to help you grow closer to Jesus as you engage with God's Word. With book introductions, application articles, people profiles, prayer moments, living insights, and more, this legacy Bible belongs in your home.
For more than 60 years, I've loved the Bible. I confess without hesitation, I'm addicted to the examination and the proclamation of the Scriptures. To the last of my days, my great goal in life is to communicate the Word with accuracy, insight, clarity, and practicality.
And now you have access to decades of Chuck's personal study in the Scriptures, bound into one brand new volume, the Swindoll Study Bible. Available in your choice of covers, you can make your selection at insight.org/study Bible.
This new study Bible was designed with you in mind. As you read the Scriptures, I want you to imagine my sitting beside you, sharing personal stories, important insights, and hard-earned lessons that will encourage you to walk more closely with Jesus Christ, your Lord.
The Swindoll Study Bible in the New Living Translation is available today by going to insight.org/study Bible. On behalf of Chuck Swindoll and all the folks who serve you at Insight for Living Ministries, Happy New Year. I'm Dave Spiker, inviting you to join us again tomorrow to hear Insight for Living.
The preceding message, What If a Person is an Unrepentant Troublemaker, was copyrighted in 2013. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.